today on the first full day of the election campaign. We talked to Kevin Rudd and Tony Abbott about their pitch for office. Already they've set out their arguments and what they see are points of difference.
This election will be about who the Australian people trust to best lead them through the difficult new economic challenges which now lie ahead.
We will scrap the carbon tax. We will get the budget back under control. We will build the infrastructure of the future, and we will stop the boats.
In the month or so ahead, the people of Australia are going to be subjected to an absolute barrage of negative political advertising.
Who do you think is more fair dinkum?
Off and running is a racing parlance, and it's apt for the September 7th election campaign. This morning, Kevin Rudd is in Canberra and Mr. Abbott is already in Queensland. Over the next 5 weeks, the two leaders will crisscross the nation, and it's a matter of staying the course. Kevin Rudd will begin his first day of election campaigning by unveiling a $200 million sweetener for the car industry. The Prime Minister will also unveil a plan to boost Australian car sales by forcing government agencies to buy local. The Prime Minister is on the line, and to talk with him is our Chief Political Correspondent, Sabra Lane.
Kevin Rudd, welcome to AM.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the program.
The front page of the Telegraph has a headline this morning. Across a photo of you, it says, "Kick this mob out." Are you surprised by that?
Well, Mr. Murdoch controls 70% of the print media in this country. It's plain from what Mr. Murdoch has said through his public statements that he wants to see the government removed and he wants to see Mr. Abbott as Prime Minister. We have a free press in these countries, so Mr. Murdoch's media is free to say what it will. And of course, we disagree with the proposition they put. And in terms of basic fairness and balance of reporting, then the Australian people will make up their mind.
The editorial goes on to say that you're tied to old Labor with its socially divisive and financially ruinous policies.
Well, the first thing I would say is that what Australians are looking for is a new way for the future, which is about new politics and not the old politics of the past. The old politics of the past, in which Mr. Abbott is a key exponent, is one which is grounded in negativity. He is one of the most negative politicians that the Parliament has ever thrown up, and also one grounded in divisiveness. I think what the Australian people want is a new approach for the future, which is based on positive policy and bringing the country together, government, business, unions, to deal with the central economic challenge which lies ahead, which is this. We've had a decade-long mining boom. It is coming to an end. If we don't manage the economic transition which lies ahead of us, then it will affect jobs and people's living standards. And the key question is, who has the right policy to deal with this change, this management of the transition ahead, as opposed to who simply goes around chanting three-word slogans? This is a complex and difficult task. It affects every Australian. The economy is key. And that, I believe, will be central to this election campaign.
You say that you want to put an end to divisive politics, but you spent a good part of your press conference yesterday bagging Mr. Abbott. And certainly news polls show, as if an election had been held on the weekend, that you'd be packing your bags at the lodge this morning.
Well, I said very bluntly yesterday that if an election had been held on Saturday, that Mr. Abbott would have been Prime Minister on Sunday. We go into this election as the underdogs. And there's a number of reasons which underpin that, one of which is a campaign of relentless negativity by Mr. Abbott over 3 or 4 years now, rather than ever putting forward a positive policy. So when we say, for example, where are your positive policies, Mr. Abbott, there is no answer, and some would interpret that as being a negative attack. When we say, here is our plan to bring the budget responsibly back to surplus over time without hurting jobs and without cutting health and education, and Mr. Abbott's response is that he won't lay bare how he's going to deal with his $70 billion black hole. Is it going to be a $70 billion deficit, or, as we suspect, based on the precedents in Queensland, a $70 billion slash-and-burn exercise, cutting to the bone, which will result in job losses at a difficult time in the global economy, as well as big cuts to health and education.
Both you and Tony Abbott say that this election is going to be about trust. Why should voters trust Labor, given the budget forecast deficit for this year is already blown out by $12 billion to be $30 billion? Why should they trust you on managing the economy?
The first point I note from today's media is on the very question you raise. Mr. Abbott has gone out and said that the government is deteriorating the fiscal position and it's on a scale to match the disasters of Europe. That is a bald-faced untruth. First point to make about that, and it goes to the question of economic record, is that our net debt to GDP ratio is scheduled to peak at 13% of GDP. In Europe, it is 90% of GDP. Here in Australia, we have avoided a recession despite the global financial crisis. In Europe, they've had six quarters of negative economic growth. Here in Australia, we have unemployment with a five in front of it. In Europe, in the euro area, the average is 12.1%. Mr. Abbott simply seems to get away with running one negative line after another, and no one calling him up on that basic fact. And today, day one of the campaign, he has put out a monstrous lie on this question, and he needs to be held to account. That is why, going to your question about the future and our record, we have managed the economy through the most difficult economic circumstances in decades. And secondly, we have a plan to deal with the big economic adjustment which lies ahead through the end of the China resources boom.
If you win this election, what mandate will you have?
Well, that's a matter for the Australian people as to who wins the election. Secondly, the plans that we will put to the Australian people will be clear and concise, and we will honour them. And thirdly, my core proposition to the Australian people is, with this big economic adjustment coming down the railway tracks towards us, is there a plan to deal with the necessary diversification of the Australian economy, the building of new industries, further investment in the national broadband network to boost productivity of all businesses, as well as investments in manufacturing, investments in agribusiness, and continued investments in infrastructure to make sure that we can negotiate the big transition which lies ahead of us.
But Labor's been doing that over the last 6 years, and you know, to date, that it doesn't seem to have had an impact with the people, the voters. And also, based on your own budget papers on Friday, you're set to blow the $30 billion debt ceiling.
Sabra, for the last decade, we've had a continuing resources boom, which benefited the last period, last 4 or 5 years of the Howard government, and has benefited the early years of this government as well. What I'm saying loud and clear is those external economic circumstances are changing. The other point I'd make is that in terms of the government's economic record, I emphasise again, number one, we avoided recession in this country. The rest of the world went crashing into recession. Two, we kept unemployment low. Three, we have among the lowest rates of budget deficit and budget and debt to GDP of any other economies, major economies in the developed world. And these are there in black and white, and Mr. Abbott will constantly talk about a debt and deficit crisis. And I simply say again, if it's so bad, Mr. Abbott, why have we been given by the three ratings agencies a AAA credit rating? Now, with the economic adjustment coming because of the end of the China resources boom, we now have to chart a new course. So the question for the Australian people and for the government and for the alternative government is what you plan for doing it. And ours is a new national competitiveness agenda to underpin the diversification of the economy, growing new industries so that jobs and living standards are not hurt.
The government's announced a further bailout of the auto sector today, another $200 million. You're mandating that the Commonwealth has a 100% target on buying locally made cars. Why is Labor committing another $200 million to this sector?
The auto sector in Australia employs directly or indirectly about 250,000 Australians.
But isn't it an admission that your changes to fringe benefits tax have harmed the industry?
The auto industry has faced challenges over the last half decade to decade. When the government was first elected, we laid out a new car plan for the auto industry's future. Auto industries around the world have been under enormous stress and pressure, particularly in developed economies. I have said before, I do not believe manufacturing is an industry just for the past. It's an industry for the future. And therefore, it means that on a case-by-case basis, industry sector by industry sector, the government will provide support where necessary. And I contrast that, and to anyone who's listening to your program in Victoria and South Australia, where these are critical questions, Mr. Abbott, is about to lop off $500 million of what we thought before was bipartisan agreed support for the auto sector. I'm a believer in manufacturing's future.
When you lost the Prime Ministership in 2010, you warned that the Labor Party shouldn't lurch to the right on asylum policy, but you've now effectively outflanked the coalition from the right. Aren't voters entitled to think, what do you stand for?
On the question of asylum seekers, the core point is this. Number one, how do you maintain our national security and proper border security when through changing international circumstances, the number of boats coming to our shores is going through the roof? Number two is this. If you don't change our policy direction, which we have, then there is a danger of the entire official migration program simply being overwhelmed, as well as undermining public support for the post-war migration policies for the country. And number three is this. At present, the Australian government has raised the number of refugees coming to Australia through the official humanitarian program from 12,000 a year to 20,000 a year. Mr. Abbott has said he'd cut that back to around 12. We've said, based on the successful implementation of the policies that we've announced in recent weeks, we'd consider raising the refugees intake through the official program to 27,000. And here's the final point. If the numbers are going to continue to rise, the number of drownings each year is going to go not from hundreds but into the thousands. So the hard question is this. How do you make sure that people smugglers and their business model is destroyed? Therefore, you've got to go to the core of it. And the core of it is this, to say to them that if they put people on a boat and send them to Australia, that those people will not be settled in Australia. It's a hard message, it's a necessary message, but one which deals with the humanitarian questions of people drowning in large numbers by the thousands, as well as providing room, we hope, in the future to expand our humanitarian program further and to take people from camps around the world, as we've done in the past, who have been languishing, fully processed, often for decades.
Mr. Rudd, when you were lobbying for the Labor Party leadership in 2006, did you ever meet with Eddie Obeid?
I don't believe I have ever met Mr. Obeid in my life. It's always possible you end up at the same sort of function, but I don't believe I've ever met this individual. And if I could add, having just answered that part of the question, the report from ICAC is a sober reminder to everybody about the need to deal effectively with official corruption. As I said the other day, those who have acted corruptly should be dealt with the full force of the law. It's one of the reasons I also initiated federal intervention in the New South Wales branch of the Labor Party a month ago, something which has not occurred for 30 or 40 years.
On campaign debates, you want five, the opposition wants three. What's the middle ground?
Well, I think the real question here is what Mr. Abbott himself has said. Mr. Abbott said just after I came to the Prime Ministership, he said, name the date, start the campaign, I'll debate him every day, unquote, on the 4th of July. Well, since then, he's prior to the campaign being officially launched, he's declined four debates so far. There is one scheduled for by Sky News for tonight, which I've accepted, and he's declined. The key question is, can you trust Mr. Abbott's word? He said in black and white on the 4th of July, just 1 month ago, that's what he'd do. The campaign's on. So what I am proposing, I think entirely reasonably, is that we have four or five networks in this country. Every Sunday night throughout this election campaign, or at least one night each week during the campaign, each of the networks should hold a full debate between the person who is Prime Minister and the person who wants to be Prime Minister, grilled by a panel of you and your professional colleagues from across the press gallery, just like happens with presidential debates in the United States. But what we have with Mr. Abbott is someone who doesn't want to answer the hard question about where will these $70 billion worth of cuts to jobs, health and education be answered, and how can it be answered, and what are his plans to deal with the huge new economic adjustment through the end of the China resources boom which lies ahead. I think if you want to be Prime Minister of Australia, I really question that if you're not prepared to debate the current Prime Minister of Australia in a full and open way before a panel of journalists who cover the entire political spectrum, then I don't really think that you're fit to occupy the office of Prime Minister of Australia.
Mr Rudd, we're out of time. Thanks for talking to AM this morning.
Thanks for having me on the program.
The Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd, speaking there with correspondent Sabra Lane.